And so if you got your Bible, I'm going to be reading out of verse 7. You're going to have more in context of sermon time, but Genesis 20, verse 7. This is God speaking to a guy named Abimelech. We're going to learn more about him. He says, "Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live." We're going to talk about prayer and how it's so impactful for Christians to be praying for people. And I know that when we pray, God listens. So I'm encouraged by that. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and give you praise for being kind to us. You're good to us in ways we can't even possibly comprehend. And God, today is one of those days we get the chance to come together in this place with other people, hopefully like-minded, like hearts that said that you are due glory, that you are to be worshipped, that you are to be praised. And so, Lord, help us to do that with a sense of thankfulness, a sense of praise. And as we take communion today, Lord, help us remember you and how you died on the cross and your blood was shed that we might have forgiveness of sin. And then as we are immersed into you, we are one with you. And that oneness drives us in such a way, Lord, that we cannot help but think about how we can give you glory in this day and every day. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
To God be the glory is our first song this morning. Let's stand as we sing to our Father.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin. And open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he has taught us, great things he hath done, and great are rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our worship when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
You may be seated. When we get a little further into the sermon this morning, you're going to see that Abraham repeats a deal that he did once before, pretending that his wife was his sister, yada, yada, yada. And you go, my gosh, why did he do that again? Well, America, we do things over and over again as well. So the next two songs are going to be talking about that, you know, having a closer walk with thee so that we can see when we're trying to repeat something that we shouldn't do. And then the next song will be Open Our Eyes. So hopefully we can open our eyes and open our hearts to see what we should really be seeing. So here we go.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long. As I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my world of toil and snares. If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee.
Comes to us from Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And now we're going to go to Psalm 119:18, and it says, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit. Voices of truth thou sendest clear, and while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth, prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
As we go to our communion time this morning, we're going to sing a song that we wrongfully sometimes just push back to the children. It's a children's song. And it is, but it's also a song for adults. Because when we think that everybody's against us or whatever, we can say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Everything goes back to the Bible. All wisdom, all knowledge, everything that we need goes back to that Bible. So Ephesians 5:2 said, Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. When nothing else is going right, you can take back and you can just say, Christ died for me, Jesus loved me, and you can turn your thoughts to his thoughts and you can get back on the right track. So let's stand as we sing for communion and prepare our hearts in that manner. We are just going to repeat the first verse twice. We're not going to try to sing any of the other verses. We're just going to stay on that first verse, and we're going to sing it twice.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus.
so. You may be seated as the men come forward for communion.
No, I'm not Huey. I've struggled all week on what to do today. Up till this morning, nothing fit. I do it, get it late. Nope. And so I went in the office when I got here, prayed. God put something on my heart. No. And I'm sure I'm not the only one of us that have had that happen. And while we were worshiping and praising the Lord, I was reminded of conversation I had this week. And this individual approached me. We were talking. And they looked at me and said, "How can your God be a loving God when he allows people to suffer, when he allows homosexuality, he allows transgender, he allows people to live sinful lives?" And I looked at this individual and I said, "What does any of that have to do with love?" I said, "None of us were made perfect. We're all sinners. We all sin." I said, "He didn't make any of us perfect." I said, "Just because I follow Christ and you don't, doesn't make me less of a sinner." And their response to that was, "He gave you cancer. He lets people die as babies. And how can you say?" My example back to him was, "Did you wake up this morning? Because that wasn't of your doing." I said, "Did you have healthy children? That's not of your doing. You have a home, you have a job, you have food in your house. That's not of our doing. Those are all blessings from God. Now you tell me where the unloving God is. You asked how my God can be loving." I said, "Homosexuality, that's of the world, not of God. These children running around saying, 'God made a mistake when he made me. I'm a girl. He made me a girl, but I'm a boy.'" I said, "That's not of God. That is the mentality of the world." I said, "Sin is sin." And I looked at my sin is no less than and no worse than the next person. I said, "My sin is no different than somebody that commits murder in God's eyes, or somebody that rapes or molests a child or whatever. It's all equal. No difference." And I continued with this person. And they, in the end, they only asked two questions. "Well, when's the last time you sinned?" I said, I sin every day. Whether it's a thought, an action, whatever. I said, we all do. And the only response they had beyond that was, well, how do you know you're forgiven? And I said, because Christ died on the cross for me. And I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And I go to my knees daily thanking him for that. See, beyond that, there's nothing. That's all you need. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for the opportunity to come together today and worship you and remember your sacrifice and your great gift of forgiveness that you have given us. Be with those that are led astray. Be with us and give us the encouragement and the strength to stand in the gap and not be afraid to just put it out there to people and correct them and fight the fight. This world's a terrible place. And we just need you, Lord, in your name.
Psalm 73. It's a psalm of Asaph. I'm looking at verse 23. It says, the psalmist saying this, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory." There's that word again, glory. Verse 25 is one of my most favorite verses of Psalm 73. "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." I'm curious, how many have noticed that your flesh is failing? Have you noticed that? Doggone it, it's going downhill fast, isn't it? I notice sometimes when I'm watching the video after church, like, who's the bald guy with a suit jacket on? It's me! But then I look in verse 25, it says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth." I want you to realize something as a Christian, as a God follower. If your version of heaven doesn't involve Jesus, you're not thinking about heaven. That's our sole reason for wanting to be there, is to be with Jesus. That's the sole reason. There are other reasons, they're good ones, but the best reason is what? Is who? Is Jesus. That's the best reason. And then he says this, "Besides you, I desire nothing on earth." Now, I wish I could live that verse out a little better. How about you? To desire Jesus as the only person on earth. And as Tim and Elaine and I went over these verses last night, I'll pose the same thought to you that I posed to them. No matter what season of life you're in, you can still live in such a way that it's obvious that Jesus is your only desire on the earth. You can live that way. Matter of fact, you're empowered to live that way through who? Jesus and who indwells you. Holy Spirit, He indwells you. You can do that. You can live such a way on this earth that when people see you die or see you live, they're going to say, that person desired to live for who? For Jesus. That's what we must endeavor to do. Byrne was quoting Josie Wales this morning. We must endeavor to persevere and live out the life of Jesus on this earth. We've got to do that. One of the ways we do that is sit in silence with Jesus. And so we quiet ourselves and sit still. And you're thinking, well, there's a lot of little voices in church today. Well, we're glad. And what's just as glad is that when they see you be quiet, what might they do? Well, they probably won't be quiet. But they may take notice that mom and dad is quiet, or whoever they're with today, grandma, whoever. And so please, every day, we've said this for years, please, every day, take the time for 120 seconds, just to sit and be still. That's how you cultivate that desire to make Jesus the only person you're living for on the earth. That's how you cultivate that. Father, we give you praise for being so kind to us and giving us Jesus. And it's because of Jesus, Lord, that we even have the opportunity to show up to a common building with common folk, with a common mentality, which is you are due praise, you are due glory. And so, Lord, help us to be those people, to live for you on this earth. and to be in heaven with you and you alone. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, go to Genesis 20. That's where I want to meet you today, is Genesis 20. We're going to have a good time there this morning. I'm going to have to ask your help this morning in doing something. Okay? I loved it how Deb said this is not just a kid's song, because I had on my heart a song that's a kid's song. Okay? So you've been sitting for a bit. I'm concerned you may go to sleep. So can you stand up with me? And you don't have to stand up if you don't want to. I'm just saying, can you stand up with me? Okay? Now, you probably know the actions of this song, right? Okay. Uh-oh, someone's already know it. Okay. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine all over Worth County? Shine all over Worth County now. I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over Worth County. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So, the problem with this light can go out. Remember that one lyric of the song? Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Great, you can sit down. Hey, the reason I brought that up today is because, do you realize what your purpose is as a Christian? If we understand that light is a great thing in darkness, right? Amen? Because in our house now, I've gotten old enough now, I put lights in my stairwell. I don't like falling down at nighttime. I like light. And so light represents glory, if you will. So the light of Christ, the light is glory. And there's something that you and I got to understand something. You and I are designed to shine God's light and God's glory. What happens if I stop trusting God? You see, that little line that says, won't let Satan blow it out, I wonder if he needs help sometimes. And I wonder if we actually help him. So what do you mean? Well, sometimes I wonder if we don't trust God in certain situations, and because we don't trust God, we let the light of his glory fade away. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm not sure I'm catching on. So are you saying that I should be concerned about giving God glory? That's exactly what I'm saying, that you should be concerned about giving God glory. And so as I contemplate what that means for you and I want to share with you a scripture verse in the Bible that sums up what it means to give God glory. Now, mind you, we can find all sorts of scripture verses that would tell us to give God glory, okay? Look at this verse right here. Let's read it together. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And so you look at this text and you start thinking about your life as a believer in God, as a believer in Christ, as a person who has the Holy Spirit indwelling you. How many things in your life are from God? How many? All things. How many of your things in your life came through God? All things. I look at the next one. How many things in your life are to God? All things. So I'm starting to get the conclusion that all things covers how many things? Everything. That being the case, then, if my life, if I'm contemplating that verse, then my life must be about whose glory? God's glory. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. We sang that a while ago. But I'm curious this question. I debated how to do this sermon today. I really did. Because when I debated how to do it, because I was concerned about the title. Okay? What does it mean? What happens when a God follower doesn't trust God? The light goes out. And so sometimes when you're faced with the task of presenting a message such as one today in Genesis 20, we've got to understand something. There are times in our life we fail to give God glory in our situations. We fail to do that because we have stopped trusting God in that moment. And there are lots of consequences. There's that word, doggone it, in church even, the word consequences. There are lots of consequences when we stop trusting God, and the primary one is we fail to give him glory. But the hope is that you and I, as we walk through this sermon time together in Genesis